I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. It feels like there's a lot of unfinished business in Ukraine. Ousted President Viktor Yanukovych is still on the run, and the country's parliament has now asked the International Criminal Court to try him for mass murder. That would be related to the deaths last week of more than 100 protesters, many apparently shot by government snipers. Meanwhile, the country's political future remains unclear as various factions in Ukraine jockey for position and power. Ukrainian novelist Andrei Kurkov lives not far from Kiev's Independence Square, the heart of the protest movement that toppled Yanukovych. There have been some steps forward, he says, but residents are still on edge.
Finally, we have police on the street, sometimes accompanied by the representatives of the self-defense groups from the protesters. But I am wary because in the Crimea, the situation is very tense. In the east of the country, there are still fights between pro-European protesters and those who actually are not really pro-Russian, but more anti-European and anti-Western Ukrainian.
What does it feel like today down at the Maidan?
Well, there is some kind of strange order. Now some of the barricades are removed, but the people are there. The people are staying there probably until 25th of May, until the day of presidential elections, and maybe even longer, because normally we never have president in one round of elections, so there will be second round. And people are much more peaceful now, but the mood is very somber. Nobody is happy, nobody is full of joy with the victory, because nobody is sure that this is really the victory which will end the problems.
Yeah, but still, you're probably breathing a little easier today. For the past almost 3 months of demonstrations, you've woken up with the same ritual, right?
In the beginning, I was waking up every 2 hours to check on internet. You would just go half asleep to the computer, have a look there, and then I would go to the window. We live on the fourth floor, and I always park my car downstairs. And on our street, one of the cars was burned down. A lot of cars were damaged, and all my neighbors removed their cars.
You know, you write with great heart about the buildings that have been central to this uprising, like Mikhailovsky Monastery. What was happening there during the demonstrations, and what's become of these buildings now?
It became like a monastery for the protesters, because on the first night when they were running, on 29th of November, they were running people followed by riot police up towards the monastery. At that time, the monk, Father Ivan, opened the gates of the monastery, let everybody in, then closed it, and then went up to the belfry and started ringing the bells. And the people from Kyiv, from around the area, started coming to the monastery. And since this moment, actually, this church became a symbol also of uprising, and it is still helping a lot. I mean, people from Maidan, I mean, they are walking in their helmets with the long wooden clubs. They leave their clubs or their weapon outside the monastery gate and outside the entrance to the church, main church. They leave their helmets.
Wow, it sounds like a really heady scene.
It is, and it's still going on. And I mean, today when I was taking my kids to the school, I was passing by the headquarters of Security Service, which is a huge building, Stalin's color gray and Stalin's architecture. And in front of the main gate, there were five or six masked protesters, also with clubs and in bulletproof vests. The head of SBU, of Secret Service, together with nine of his deputies fled, but the people are still working there. Nobody knows actually what is happening at the moment. There is a new head, but no information, except that, of course, Secret Service was also involved in different operations against the protesters.
So clearly a lot in Ukraine that's not settled, and many people on guard. Novelist Andrei Kurkov speaking with us from Kiev. Thank you very much.
Thank you.